te sati Narejane jane Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So I have to apologize. I weren't as prepared today as we were previously. I didn't get a chance to write anything on the board. I came a little late. Yesterday we went to Govardhan. We spoke pretty much all day long. Our voice is suffering a little bit. Anyway, please excuse me. So, I'd like to do a little bit of review of yesterday. But first, we should say a few words about the song that we just sang, so we don't lose sight of it. The song is part of a book called Vaishnava Vandana, which is written by a devotee named Devaki Nandan Das. And this particular part of this called Vaishnava Saran is a very famous song. If you go to different ashrams, such as Gaudiya Math, or Goswami Vaishnavas, or different Babaji's, you'll find many Vaishnavas, they sing this song as a daily practice. Because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, one way to prevent Vaishnava Aparad and to cure Vaishnava Aparad is to glorify the Vaishnavas. So this devotee, Devaki Nandan Das, it's a long story, but you can read about it in our Vaishnava Aparad magazine if you like. There's a greater explanation of the song there. But he committed some Vaishnava Aparad, and his Guru Maharaj told him that to rectify himself, he should write this song. So he wrote this song. It's a very important song for the Vaishnavas. We sing this song as a daily affair. It begins saying that Vrindabana Basijata Vaishnaviragan Pratame. As we describe in a magazine, there's a significance behind the word Pratame. It's not important for our discussion today, but there's some purport to that. But he begins by offering respect to the Vaishnavas of Braj, Vrindavan. And then he goes on to offer obeisances to the Vaishnavas of Nilachal, the devotees of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu Gana. And he's falling down on the ground before them and worshiping at lotus feet. Then after that, he goes on to offer obeisances to the devotees of Navadvip Dham, the devotees of Mahaprabhu Bhakta, and praise for attachment to their lotus feet. And then to the devotees of Gaudadesh, and devotees of Gaudadesh, such as Lokanath Goswami and others. And he prays that to worship the lotus feet of those devotees. And then he says that Jay Desi Baisi Gorangiragan. He says it doesn't matter wherever those devotees are from. Jay Desi Baisi. It's a very significant thing. Whether those devotees are from Bengal, or from UP, or from Orissa, or from Russia, or from America, or Japan, Devaki Nandan Das is teaching us that we should offer respect to the lotus feet. He says, Urdhva Bahu, Kori Bandhu, Sabharacharan. This phrase, Urdhva Bahu, is a common phrase in Gaudiya Vaishnav literature. Urdhva Bahu means with two arms upraised. This is used to emphasize a point, to declare something very emphatically. And in particular, it's used to call attention to people. Hey, look, you listen to what I'm about to say. With two hands in the air, I'm saying this thing. It's a very, very important thing. Urdhva Bahu Kori Bandhu Sabharacharan. You should offer obeisances to all these devotees, wherever they reside. Not only wherever they reside, but hoye chena, hoye bhena, prabhu jata das. I'm praying that all these prabhus, that I can just be their das. Whether all the devotees in the past, Mahaprabhu, all the devotees who are present now, and all the devotees in the future, sabara charana vandon. I'm offering obeisances to the lotus feet of all of them. Why is that? Some may question, why are you making such a big thing about it? Brahmanda tarite shakti dhari jani jani. That you should know that each and every one of these devotees carries with him the potency to be able to deliver so many brahmandas, so many universes. Sabaracha evedi parani guna gais jivasuni. This is not just my opinion, but this is a declaration of Shastra, that sadhu-sangha, sarva-shastri-koi, lava-matra-sadhu-sangha-sarva-siddhi-hoi. All the Shastras are describing that just lava-matra-sadhu-sangha can give sarva-siddhi-hoi. It's the moment's association can give one all perfection. Mahaprabhu Gana Sabapatita Pavan. I'm doing this because all the associates of Mahaprabhu, they're very merciful. There's so many different types of sujanas, or great personalities, saintly persons. There's the Rishi Ganas. But sometimes those Rishi Ganas are a little angry, and they may not be so merciful. But one quality of the associates of Mahaprabhu is that they're very merciful. Patita Pava, they're very kind to persons who have fallen, like me. So Devikinandan is indicating that we should feel some hope by approaching the sources of Mahaprabhu. And he says that Tai Lobe Mui Papi Loyinusaran. I'm surrendering to them. I'm greedy for their association. Vandana Korite Mui Katta Saktidari. He says that actually, I don't have the ability to glorify them. This is a very important point. I don't know if we'll go on to describe this point. Actually, this whole subject matter, I get a little bewildered with because it's just like a, not just one ocean, but it's like countless oceans of things to discuss. And there's so many different points that are very, very important. This whole seminar is just a little overview of a few of them. Why is he saying here that tamo bhuti doshin vidhamba mata kori? That I'm just saying this with some pride and that I don't have the ability to do this. Because there's a certain principle called Amar Guru Jagat Guru, a certain principle that people have, conditioned souls, they want to advertise their association as a means to get some prestige for themselves. Many people, they do like, oh, don't you know, I was initiated by Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He's a very great personality, and I want to tell you about it. By doing that, you'll get some respect to me. In Bengali, this is known as Guru Giri. The activity of someone who wants to make a business out of their guru by advertising, I'm his disciple. But Devikinandan Das, he's not mentioning his guru. And he's saying here that Vandana Korite Moi Katha Sakti Dari, I don't have the ability to glorify them. Why is it that these such people, they want to glorify, they want to advertise that they're associating, they have associated with exalted persons? Because ultimately they want to show that I'm an exalted person. And because of that association, I'm also on their equal platform. I'm an associate of that person. I'm on the same level of them. But Devikinandan says, not only, but this is indicating, not only am I not an associate of them, but I don't even know how to glorify them. I don't even know how to speak their glories. What am I doing? It's just dhamba. It's just pride. That's all that I'm doing. I'm glorifying them just because I'm a proud fellow. Devikinandan Das is not a proud fellow, but he's doing some lokasiksha. He's teaching us that we should hide this thing. Gopayad guru matmanaha. We should hide our guru. We should hide our sadhusanga. We don't openly proclaim that thing. He's saying the only reason I would do this is because I'm so proud. Tatapi mukera bhagya mane ulas. So then why am I speaking about them, you may ask? Because mane ulas. I get some great happiness from doing it. Even though I'm a shameless fellow, by glorifying them, because I have no qualities, no ability to glorify them, still I get so much pleasure that I can't control myself. And I have to do this thing. So although I'm just a proud fellow and such a rascal, dosha kami, moha dami, koronija das. I'm praying to all of you Vaishnavas that you please forgive me, dosha kami. You forgive me for my offenses. Mohadami, I'm a very, very fallen person. Koro Nijadas, you please make me into your servant. Sarvavamsha Siddhi Hoy Jama Bandha Jute. If someone glorifies the Vaishnavas, if they get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and Jagate Durlabha Poya Prema Dhanalute, then they can get this Jagata Durlabha Prema, very rare Prema. This is the kind of Prema that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. Because Mahaprabhu, he's not coming in every Kali Yuga. He's only coming in a very, very rare age, which is called Danya Kali Yuga. Very rare age. And his associates, they're giving this very, very special Braj Prem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. So this is a very great thing. And if someone gets this thing, then getting out of the clutches of Yamaraj is a very insignificant thing. So Devaki Nandan, he says that, I have this greed. Manera basana puna acharati hoy Devaki Nandana das e lobi koi. I have this desire that please, I have association always with these devotees. This is the heartfelt impression. Manera basana. Basana means that thing which is impressing your heart. A synonym of basana, I think in Sanskrit, is sangskar. Wouldn't it be? Would you say that? Sangskar means impression. We perform, there's a Dasavidhi Sangskar, 10 different purificatory ceremonies, beginning with Garbhadan Sangskara, which hopefully was preceded by the Vivaha Sangskara, the wedding ceremony. It's 10 different purificatory ceremonies that are performed in the life of a cultured person. And these are known as Sangskaras. Sangskara means an impression, because when you do these things, it makes an impression upon the child, it makes an impression upon the jeev. So basana also means some impression, some thing which is there in my heart. So I have this impression. This is a heartfelt thing I'm speaking, Devaki Nandan Das says. So very, very nice song. So 2 days ago, we spoke a few things about culture, about a general concept about respect in society. And I wonder, I would like to begin today's session. And I'd like to begin with asking if anybody has any thoughts or any comments. Probably everybody was busy yesterday, but maybe some of us thought about some of these things. If there's any discussion or any comments, it would be nice to start off with that thing. Anybody have any realizations or thoughts about this subject yesterday, or 2 days ago? Mataji. You please try to find that. And if you can, bring that in the next few days. I'd like to. It sounds very likely. We don't doubt you. It's a very, very nice point. Actually, today I'm hoping we'll get to the point where we discuss something about this respect to the Dambasis also. Any other comments or discussion? Anything? So 2 days ago, we gave some general overview and we described that the root cause of respect is the identification that we have for ourselves. And in materialistic culture, because that identification is based upon the body, then that respect is also bodily respect. It's temporary, and it's based on lust and greed. People offer respect because you're famous, because you're beautiful, physically beautiful, because you have some wealth, because you have some power, like that. And then we spoke something from different verses of the Gita and Bhagavatam, describing the fallacy, the problems of lust and greed, and the natural consequence, we can understand lust and greed is such a bad thing. Krishna says in Gita, Kama Isha Krodha Isha Raja Guna Samudbhava Mahasano Mahapapa Vidinam Hirayanam. This is our greatest enemy. So if it's our greatest enemy as an individual, it means it's also the greatest enemy of a society. Because actually, in one sense, we can say that a society is an abstract concept. Just like mathematics is an abstract concept. It's just something you're discussing and it exists in the ether. It's practically something we can use to deal with things. But in one sense, it's an abstract concept. So in a similar way, society also is an abstract concept for all of us in one sense. Because society really means a collection of individuals. And for Krishna conscious devotees, we want to be individuals. We want to develop a relationship with Krishna. Nevertheless, society is there, especially for those people who haven't come to the point of understanding their individuality. In Vedic culture, those individuals, especially were the Brahmins, were free thinkers, and they wanted to be free from the constraints of control of the Kshatriyas, of the Vaishyas, of the Sudras, and they remained intellectually independent. And so that thing, therefore, was glorified in that way. And in Vaishnava culture, we want to be individuals because we want to develop our personal relationship with Krishna. But for persons who are very much in the bodily conception of life, they're always looking for upadis. And we were speaking something about this 2 days ago. Upadi means some designation. We're always clinging to designations. Because those designations, we find some relief, we find some peace with that. We don't have to confront who we are spiritually. We don't have to work very hard. Someone says, oh, you're the son of such and such. You're an ISKCON devotee. You're a man, you're a woman, you're a Russian, you're an American. You're an intellectual. You're a mother, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a wife. And we adopt these designations. And we also tend to address other people with these same type of upadis. But Mahaprabhu teaches, Naham vi prana charanada paiti nepi vaishona sudo naham vani chantrigaha patino vanascha tirba kintu projan nikila paramananda pranamitabdhya gopi bhartahu parakamala das dasana dasa. I reject all these upadis. I don't want these upadis. So real culture means, ultimately, I would like to suggest, this is one of the main points I would like to present to all of you for your consideration, that real culture, real respect means that we don't see people as upadis. We don't treat them as an upadi. I've met so many people, and I'm sure all of you also have, over the years in ISKCON, who are very bitter and very angry. And they criticize and they complain about ISKCON and about the leaders and the GBC. And they say, they did this and they did that. And those GBC and those sannyasis and that temple president and all the men, they mistreated the women. And all the people, they mistreated the children. And the Gurukul teaches this and this. But if we think about it, all of those statements are impersonal. And we're dealing with all those people, all those individual persons in an impersonal way by hanging a label on them. And not treating them as a person, but treating them as an upadi, as a thing. And this is a basic principle of culture, of respect. If you want to respect someone, don't treat them as an upadi. As much as you can. They may want to be treated as an upadi, and for some social consideration, you have to do that. But you should also always see them as an individual person. You may criticize, as we were discussing a little after class the other day, you may say, oh, this person, he knew about these bad things going on, but still he was a party to it. He stayed in that camp. He stayed in that group. But it's not such an easy thing. Don't see them like that. Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. He's a great personality. But whose side is he on? He's fighting on the side of Duryodhan. He's in Duryodhan's court. He's living in Duryodhan's palace. But is he really? So don't think that we can see people. We'll discuss this more, I think, tomorrow about the vision to see who's a Vaishnava and who's not. Mataji?
Yes, you said for social considerations and not to act or improve, that is. And that's what I was thinking
to the question. I would like to suggest that we have two considerations. And this is, there's an article in our latest magazine, this Bhutana magazine, by our spiritual master, by that same title, Two Considerations. One consideration is a social consideration, by which we should offer respect to temple presidents, to GBC, to pujaris, to brahmins, to ladies, to parents, to someone because they have the position of guru, to someone because they have the position of a sannyasi, or someone because they have the position of a grihastha, someone because they're a brahmachari, and they're studying, and they're celibate. But another consideration is there also, which is a spiritual consideration. And for that consideration, sometimes we might avoid some of those same people. Even they may be gurus, GBCs, sannyasis, whatever, but we may actually avoid their association because we may see something in them which we find painful, which we find inappropriate. But for social respect, we offer that, and that's good for our bhajan. But for our spiritual respect, we don't have to. We don't have to eat from their plate, so to speak. We don't have to accept them as guru. We only have to accept someone as guru, that person we have faith in. And there's no offense in that. Sometimes in the early days in ISKCON, even when I joined people, there was an idea that if someone was a GBC or someone were a guru, then you had to accept them as an absolute authority. But now, remember, they have a road of hard knocks. They say, we've learned a lesson in our society that it's not necessarily so. Not that we have to do like that. But still, there's some social respect. Now, as the pendulum swings, the pendulum was on one side in the late 70s and early 80s. And if someone was a GBC, someone was a guru, then sometimes even they used to say that they were manifestations of different qualities of Prabhupada, and there was 11 or 12, whatever, expansions of Prabhupada, and we should see them like that. That was one type of consideration. The pendulum was like that. Now today the pendulum has swung the other way. We've become more sophisticated. And now the new thing is it's like in the era of Richard Nixon, kick the bastard out. Now we've become sophisticated and they're all bogus, they're all nonsense and like that. That's also a ridiculous position. Both ends of the pendulum swing are nonsense. We should be wise and intelligent and we should stay somewhere in the center of things. So and we discuss about Western culture and how Western culture glorifies these things which they place value on. Money, wealth, and other things, and respect in those societies is based on that. And then we discuss the problems behind that. Then we discuss something about the vanashram system, the first being the asura system of respect. Then we discuss something about the vanashram system. In the vanashram system, respect is given ultimately to qualities. It's given to the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Sudras, but especially it's given to the qualities. Prabhupada describes this in different places. There's two personalities within the Vanashram system who are on the top of the pyramid. One is the Brahmins, and the other is the Sannyasis. Now, we offer respect to someone just because they have a thread. A good example is of someone who has culture, who's a dignified, cultured person, and who's giving this kind of proper social respect, is Draupadi. Ashwatthama did a very, very heinous, ghastly thing. He came in the middle of the night and he mercilessly murdered the five sleeping innocent children of Draupadi. So when Bhim and Arjun captured him and bound him up and they were going to cut off his head and kill him, Draupadi immediately, she came and said, no, don't do that. He's a Brahma Bandhu. And Bhagavatam says, she said, he's a Brahma Bandhu. And this word Brahma Bandhu is very significant. She said that Brahma Bandhu means he's a friend of a Brahmin. He's not really a Brahmin, but he's something like a Brahmin. But she's not using it in a derogatory way. She's saying, he's a Brahma Bandhu. We should be respectful to him. Even though he didn't have the qualities of a Brahmin. Even though actually he deserved to be killed many times over for the terrible activity that he'd done. But Draupadi was teaching, this is proper respect. He's a Brahmin. He has a Brahmin thread on. So really a Brahmin is someone who exemplifies the quality of knowledge. This is the main symptom of a Brahman. If someone cultivates, if someone gets knowledge, and ultimately that knowledge means Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of spirit. If they get that knowledge, and ultimately it means realization of that knowledge, then society gives respect to that person. And it doesn't matter what position they were born in. If they get that understanding, then society elevates and everybody gives respect to that person for that. So that has an influence on the society. Because so many people, everyone wants some pratista, everyone wants some fame, everyone wants some respect. How many times have we heard devotees chastise someone else? Prabhu, you know, you're not being very respectful, you know. Why should you speak to me like that? Really, a Vaishnava should be a mani namana dana. But that's not a cheap thing, to not demand any respect for ourselves. As we'll describe later, that's a quality which comes as a result of our bhajan. It's not something that we artificially adopt like a hat or a different type of dress, but I'll just be respectful to everyone and not demand any respect for myself. You can't do it. We can artificially do it to a certain extent, and it's also beneficial for us to do that. But to really genuinely do that thing is a symptom of nirapadrat bhajan, a bhajan done without offense, according to Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his commentary on Shikshashtaka. So that's the qualities of the Brahmins. And the qualities of the sannyasi is renunciation. If a sannyasi is driving everywhere in a big fancy car and keeping all very luxurious silk cloth and having so many electronic gadgets and having pretty ladies massage his feet and eating very opulent foodstuffs, people won't really respect that person. The people they'll criticize. Because everyone knows that the quality of a sannyasi is renunciation. So especially in Vedic culture, we're wanting to offer respect to that quality. But because people don't see quality so much, we also have some external dress and some external title of the Brahman. The Brahman wears a thread. And the sannyasi carries a danda and that. But in our Vedic culture, there's many persons. The story is there Prabhupada used to tell of the Brahman and the cobbler. Cobbler in Bengali, what is the name for a cobbler? It's Muchi. That's one of the names for a cobbler. He's a very, very filthy person because always he's dealing with people's feet, their shoes, and with leather. But I think all of you may remember this story Prabhupada used to tell about Narad Muni. On one occasion he was passing through some village and he came across one very learned Brahmin. He's a Chaturvedi Brahmin. He's learned in all four Vedas. And he said, "Oh, Narad Muni, nice to see you." Narad said, "Yes, yes, pranams, dandavats, you're a great Brahmin." And the Brahmin said, "Yes, yes, my blessings to you." Even though Narad Muni is a greater personality than him. He said, "Oh, Narad, where are you going?" "Oh, I'm going to Vaikuntha to see Lord Vishnu." "Oh, really? Oh, that's very nice. When you go to Lord Vishnu, please do me a favor. Ask him how long it will take before I get liberation." Narad said, "Yes." Then Narad went on to see a little further in the village and he came across the hut of the cobbler. When this cobbler saw Narad Muni coming, he became ecstatic and he fell down on the ground offering his dandavat pranams. He put grass and straw in his teeth. He said, "Oh, now my life is successful. You've come to our house. Please let me wash your feet. Let me give you a seat. Let me give you something to eat." He offered him sweet words. In the course of the discussion, he asked Narad Muni, "Where are you going?" He said, "Oh, I'm on my way to Vaikuntha to see Lord Vishnu." And that cobbler, he said, "Maybe you could bless me. I have one question. I'm a very sinful person, but somehow if you could ask Lord Vishnu, when it will be that I get liberation, I'd be very happy." So Narad Muni said, "Yes." Then, you know, he went to see Lord Vishnu and he was glorifying Lord Vishnu. And he said, "Oh yes, I forgot. There was two persons. They had some question for you. This Brahmin, he wanted to know when he would get liberation, and also this cobbler." And so Lord Vishnu told him, he said, "Do you tell the Brahmin that he's not going to get liberation for thousands of births? And you tell the cobbler that he's going to be liberated in this life." And then Narad Muni, "The cobbler's going to get liberation in this birth. And the Brahmin would take thousands of lives." And Narad Muni was very amazed. He said, "Well, that's, how do we understand that?" He said, "Anyway, if you want to understand why, When you go back, you tell them, when they ask you what I was doing, you tell them I was stringing an elephant through the eye of a needle. I don't know, that's a strange thing to say. Okay, no problem. So then he went back, and he went to that Brahmin, and the Brahmin says, hey, Narad Muni, good to see you. How are you doing today? And you saw Lord Vishnu? Did you give him my message? And what did he say? Narada said, well, not very good news. He said that it's going to take you thousands of lifetimes before you get liberation. And Brahman became very, what are you saying? Hey, I'm a Chaturvedi Brahman. I know all the Vedas. I've been doing Homa every day. I'm very, very pakka. So many ways. What is he? What kind of nonsense is this? What was Lord Vishnu doing when he went to see him? And Narada Muni said, well, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. Brahman said, I thought so. Nonsense. You're bogus. Everybody's saying that Narada Muni is a great saintly person. I can see you don't know anything. Obviously, you didn't see Lord Vishnu. That's impossible. No one can put an elephant to the eye of a needle. Get out of here. Jello. Ha! Huh? Like this. So Muni said, yes. So then he went to the house of the cobbler. And the cobbler, again seeing him, he started crying, ecstatic. Oh, so wonderful. Please have a seat. Have something to drink, have something to eat. Huh? And he said, my dear Narada, did you see Lord Vishnu? Did you ask that question? Narada Muni said, yes, I asked that question. Lord Vishnu said that you're going to get liberation this very lifetime. And the cobbler was very struck at, how is that possible? I'm such a contaminated person. He said, the Lord is very, very kind. No doubt because of your association, this thing will happen. He said, please tell me, what was the Lord doing when you saw him? And everybody said, yes, the Lord, he was taking an elephant and putting the elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler said, oh, that's wonderful. Narada Muni said, that doesn't surprise you? No, why should that surprise me? Narada Muni said, doesn't that sound like ridiculous to you? Some of me, no, my Lord, he can do anything. You see this tree out here, this big banyan tree? If this big banyan tree can come from such a tiny little seed, then putting an elephant in the eye of a needle, that's nothing for my Lord. So it's based upon someone's qualification. It's described by Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manasiksha. He gives some description about respect. A very wonderful verse. First verse of Manasiksha. Guru goste gostala yusasujane busura gane swamantre sri namne brajena vayuva dvandvasarane sadadambam hitva kururatim puramatitaram ahi swatanta dasa ratibir abhyachi dhritapadaha. He's saying, my dear mind, I say, please listen. And he's telling my dear mind, he's saying, chaturbir abhyachi dhritapada. He said, I'm coming and I'm holding on to your feet. And with very sweet words, I'm addressing you. If you go to someone and you fall at their feet and you hold their feet and you speak very sweet words to them, then that person will be flattered and they'll listen to you. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he's approaching his mind in that way. See, my dear mind, you're very, very nice. You're very, very exalted. Let me hold on to your feet. Now just let me say one little thing to you. Please listen. Because sometimes someone, they won't listen to us unless we speak sweetly to them. He says, a guru goshte goshtalayesu sujane bhusura gane. You should offer respect to these persons, to your Gurudev. In our Padavali Kirtan, in our system, our krama of Kirtan, the tradition is that first we offer respect to Guru. Next we offer respect to the Vaishnavas. And then following that, although Guru is also a Vaishnava, but still before offering respect to the Vaishnavas, we offer respect to our Gurudev. And then to the Vaishnavas. Because the Vaishnavas, they'll be pleased by that. If the Vaishnavas see that we're coming and we're neglecting our Gurudev, they won't be pleased. Today this has become somewhat of a habit where people, they want to hide their guru because they're ashamed of him. They don't want to recognize their guru and they want to go to other Vaishnavas and take shelter there. And sometimes even these other Vaishnavas give them initiation. But this is not real Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. Raghunatha Goswami is teaching us that if someone is a real Vaishnava, he'll never appreciate a disciple, someone who comes to him and rejects their guru, doesn't recognize their guru. If someone is coming to us and wanting some instruction or something, and they have no regard for their guru, we should not want anything to do with such a person. And that doesn't matter whether their guru is big or small. We'll speak something more about that in a few days too. So it begins with saying, Guru Goshte. And Goshte means braj. That we should offer respect to braj. Braj also means Nabadweep Dham. As we were discussing in our last seminar, it also means Jagannath Puri Dham. These are two different aspects of braj. They contain different qualities of braj. We should offer respect, especially to all the dhams, but especially braj. In its different manifestations, in Navadvip and Puri and here. Gosalayasu, we should offer respect to the Braj Basis, those persons who are living in Braj. Pratame vandana kori sabara charan. Devaki Nandandas says, Pratame, first I offer obeisances to the Braj Basis. Sabara charan, all the Braj Basis, because everyone in Vrindavan, everyone in Braj, we consider to be a devotee of Krishna. Even the insects, even the dogs and the pigs and whatever, even the monkeys who come and steal something from you. We offer respect to them. Sujane. Sujane means the Vaishnavas, who are Sujanas, who have good qualities. And the Bhusura Gane, he mentions. Who's the Bhusura? Bhusura is a very poetic language, very, very nice language. The Bhusura. Sura means the gods. The gods of earth, Bhusura. And who is that Bhusura? No, that's the Brahmins. Not the Gusura, Gusuri. In Oriya they have another word, the Gusuri. Gusuri, Gu means stool, the Lord's stool. That means the pigs. So we offer our respect to the Bhusuris, to the Bhusura Ganis, those Brahmins. Someone's Gayatri Mantra, Swamantri, Sri Namni, the holy name. Brajanava Yuva Dvan Visarane. We take shelter of Shishi Radha Krishna. And he says, Sadha Dambam Hitva. Always give up your pride, my dear mind. Don't think that you're an important person. Offer respect to these personalities. He's saying here that we should offer respect to the Brahmins. This is an important thing. Don't think that we're so sophisticated now at all. These people, they harass me. You know, when I go to Nandagaon, when I go to Gokul, they're always coming and pulling in my pocket and wanting some money. I go to Radhakun, one of these guys, Budmas, they're great rascals. They're not really Brahmins. They're bogus people. What are we saying? Raghunatha Das Goswami is saying, Siddha Dambam Hitva. Give up your pride. Don't think that you're a big person. Be respectful to everyone. This person may not be such a great personality, but I promise you, they're not as bad as Ashwatthama was. So, if Draupadi could offer respect to someone who killed her 5 children, we can't offer respect to someone who's coming and harassing us for a few rupees. We should give them respect. We should give respect to the Brajbasis. Anyone who's born in Braj, we give them respect. But at the same time, we want to understand these things in tattva. What is really a Brahmin? What is really a Brijbasi? Who's really a resident of Vrindavan? Do you know Kamsa was born in Braj? So was Putana. Putana's village is not far from Mathura. We went last year and visited there. So is she a Brijbasi? Is Kamsa a Brijbasi? Do we consider like that? We may have two considerations. By one consideration, because he has some birth there, we may offer some respect to that. But we don't associate with Kamsa. We don't want to hear from Kamsa. We don't have lunch with Putana. She's not eating very nice things. We don't relish the same kinds of things that she's relishing to eat. But we can see Just because someone's born in Braj, we can offer respect to that. But there's two considerations. We're not going to go and associate closely with them. Krishna says in Gita, Api chet sudaracharo, bhajate mam ananya bhak, sadareva samantavya. Very emphatically, samantavya, sadareva samantavya. They're a sadhu, because they're doing bhajan. Bhajate mam ananya bhak. We don't see Kamsa or Putana doing bhajan, so we don't give them so much respect. So we may give some respect for their birth. Raghunandas Goswami is giving some indication we should do like that, just because of someone's birth. But a higher thing is someone is doing bhajate mam ananya bhak. Ananyata bhajan. And what does that mean? Some of our sophisticated friends in today's Vaishnava society, they're pseudo-sophisticated, will want us to think that that means someone who's a pure devotee. But then why does Krishna say that durachari, that he's a durachari, and that he's addicted to bad activities? From that we can understand that his bhajate mam ananya bhak means that he's not a pure devotee. Bhajate mam ananya bhak means that he's doing ananyata bhajan, meaning he's not worshipping the devatas. He's not taking shelter of karma, of jnana, of yoga. He's only taking shelter of bhakti. He may have some bad habits. He's durachari. His achar is not very nice. He's maybe performing sinful activities even. But he has faith that Krishna is God. He has faith in this process. So we offer respect to him. But it doesn't mean that we hear from them. We should become a little sophisticated in our understanding. Actually, I think everybody who's coming here, all of you have some sophistication like that. Just from the fact that you want to come to a seminar like this, that you feel like this will, you get some benefit by how to respect other people. By learning, you feel that just coming here indicates that you're thinking you'll learn something, and so that you can offer respect more to other people. But there's another type of person that we might think who needs a seminar more. And those type of persons, they think they already know how to respect everyone. They don't need to be instructed in that, and they can see who's who and what's what. And they don't want to give respect to this guy. This person, he's a durachari, why should I give respect to him? They'll say like that. Sometimes we may wonder how to preach to those persons. We should not adopt their methodology. Their methodology is empiricism and some gross force trying to control people. They'll come and tell you, hey, you should be humble. You know? Have you ever had anyone tell you like that? You know, you should be a little humble, don't you think? It's a very proud statement to go and tell someone that you should be humble. And it really doesn't work very well. Sometimes we see quarrels between devotees like that. They're saying, well, you should be humble, Prabhu, you know. And the other person, then he becomes very angry too. Well, you should be humble yourself, you know. And they go back and forth like this. Really, if we want to tell someone that they should be humble, we should be humble. And by our example, we should strike their heart. What does it mean to preach? We can mention briefly. In America, they have some movie, which we never saw, but we saw the title of it. It's called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So for some people, preaching is like that. That means invasion of the body snatchers. And sometimes you see them, they come to the temple, and they say, oh, you know, ISKCON's bogus, or you got to come to the Gaudiya Math, or you got to come to the Babaji's, or your guru is bogus, you know, and come to my ISKCON guru over here. And they're just trying to do body snatching. That movie's a horror movie. And also this kind of activity is a horrible activity. Someone coming and doing like that. It's a non-vegetarian activity. And Krishna, he's a vegetarian. Krishna says, Patram Pushyam Phalam Toyam, Yomi Bhakti Prayachati. I don't need body snatching. I'm a vegetarian. I don't need you to bring any bodies to me. He says, ultimately, I just want one thing. Preaching means bring me someone's heart. Don't worry about their wallet. Don't worry about their daughter. Don't worry about their bank balance or their car or getting this thing or that thing and making them a life member. You just get one thing from them. You capture their heart. And then their wallet comes and their daughter comes and their car comes and their bank balance and their life and everything else they have. If we can capture their heart. And that's what Krishna wants. So preaching means that thing. It means by our example, we can show someone, we can touch their heart by our example, and especially according to situation, deho nata jata jata. Who are we? In my own case, I'm just a pocha grihastha. I couldn't make it in the grihastha ashram even. I'm a very shameless fellow. I have no good qualities. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a Prabhupada disciple. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a big person. I'm not an elderly person. I'm not an advanced person. I am what I am. But I have some adhikar. We have a magazine we print. We're giving some seminar at BAHE. So we have some scope to speak something. And if we act within that scope, then people are happy and it's very natural. But if we act outside of that scope and we try to start going to Prabhupada disciples and telling, don't you know, you should listen to me and do like this and this, and we start instructing sannyasis like that, or respected persons like ladies, or Brahmins, then who is going to appreciate our words? No one's going to appreciate that. So we should understand what it means to preach. Part of the whole purpose of Prabhupada Society is to preach. So in this sense, this seminar also is to teach us how to preach. And preaching means to capture someone's heart by our behavior, not just by our words. We don't want to be body snatchers, we want to be heart snatchers. We want to collect hearts from people and put them in our pocket, and bring them to Krishna. And Krishna will be very, very happy with that thing. So ultimately, these two considerations are there. We offer respect due to someone's birth, but the Varaha Purana describes Rakshasakalamashrita Jayante Brahma Yonishu. Then in Kali Yuga, so many Rakshasas, they're taking birth in the wombs of Brahmins. So what is really a Brahmin? Bhardvaj Muni describes in the Upanishads, Jata Karma Adibiryastu Sankarai Samskriti Suchi Veda Dhyayena Sampana Sat Sat Karma Vivastita Sochacharastita Samyag Visasir Guru Priyaha Nitya Brali Satya Paraha Savai Brahmana Uchite. Bhardwaj Muni, he describes what is a Brahman. Someone is a Brahman whose birth and subsequent works have been purified by appropriate samskaras, beginning with the Garbhadang samskara. Someone who has the qualities of purity and cleanliness, who's devoted to Vedic study, who performs worship of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This is one important thing. If we receive Brahman initiation, we should worship the Lord. If you don't worship the Lord, that's the purpose of getting that Brahman initiation. In Kali Yuga, it's not actually necessary. And it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 15, text 109 and 10, 108 through 10, I think, that it's not even necessary in this age. Then Prabhupada gives a very long purport explaining why it is necessary to have second initiation. But both things can be said. Ultimately, all the only thing is required is the holy name. But we take second initiation, why? To help us chant the holy name. And to do that, we should worship. We should worship the Lord in His deity form. Because we don't have the vision to see Krishna in His holy name. We're a little bit on the material, external platform. So for us, His deity worship is required. So if we have second initiation, we should worship the deity. You should be pure, you should be clean. Someone who instructs others in that worship, yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, pati, graha. These are six activities of a Brahman. That he does jagya, yaja. Yajan, he teaches other people jagya. Patan, he studies the Vedas. And patan, he teaches other people the Vedas. And dana, he's qualified, therefore, to receive charity. You can give him charity for these reasons. Because he's non-different from Krishna in the sense that he's doing jagya for Krishna and then he's speaking the Vedas, which are non-different from Krishna. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashroy. The Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So someone who's speaking the Bhagavatam, also we can worship them in one sense as Krishna. So dana, we can give him wealth. Because Patigraha, he's always giving that wealth. It's described in Ramayana that when Lord Ramachandra finished the Ashwamedha Yagya, that he had to give some bakshish, some donation, some remuneration to the priests. So what did he give them? To one Hotri, he gave everything, the whole planet in the north direction. To another priest, he gave everything in the south direction. To another, he gave everything in the east direction. And to the fourth, he gave everything in the westerly direction. He gave away everything in existence. That's his quality as a Kshatriya. He's respecting the Brahmins. They're very qualified, so he gives them everything. And the Brahmins are saying, we don't want all this. This is a big headache. This is so much management is going to be required. So many different things. I just want to do my jagya and study the Vedas. I don't want all these things. So then the Brahmins immediately, they gave it all back to him. But they accepted it. They accepted it first. Thank you very much. And we accept it. Now, you take it back. And that's the intelligence of the Brahmins. The Brahmins, they don't want to do so much management. Sometimes we think, as a side note, we consider in our society a devotee, a great devotee, is someone who's a good manager. We think like that sometimes, but it's not actually necessary. We think like that for a good reason. It's not wrong to think like that in some ways. We think like that because Prabhupada emphasized that. Prabhupada wanted that. Why did Prabhupada want that? I would offer because Prabhupada wanted to be relieved of the headache himself. So he was looking for people who wanted it themselves. And people who were pushing himself forward and say, you know, I'm very, very good at management and I like to control things. Prabhupada would say, yes, yes, you take, you control, you do. I think it's a little true. But that's the nature of a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya can't control himself. He has to come forward. He says, look, you know, things aren't going right and I can do things right. You should give me that. You should give me control. You should give me some position. That's the nature of a Kshatriya. A Brahmins, that they don't have that kind of passion. They're humble and they think, gee whiz, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. That's a big headache. So they can't do it. They don't have the necessary passion to do that service. So the Brahmins, they give that thing to the Kshatriyas. But we shouldn't think, sometimes we think that, oh, a big Vaishnava means a big manager. We should be respectful to the managers. Because if we're not respectful to them, how will things go on? Even if they're a Brahma Bandhu, Draupadi's still being respectful to Ashwatthama. And Prabhupada was teaching this, as we said the other day, even you should offer respect to the lion. He's the king of beasts. We should be respectful to everyone. And that's a mark of culture. That's a sign of culture. You're a cultured person and people will listen to you. You're a dignified person then. If we have some dignity in our character, in our behavior, some dignity in the way we treat others, people will listen to you. But it doesn't matter how much you know or how big your muscles are or how big your position is, how many stripes you have on your shoulder. If you have no dignity, if you have no respect for others, people won't be interested to listen to you. Look at the United States of America today. They're very, very powerful. They're very, very wealthy. They have the biggest army, the most wealth, this and that. But nobody wants to listen to them because there's no dignity. Because they're not being respectful of others. So if we have the dignity, then people will naturally listen to us. So this Brahman quality is not by birth. It's described, Janmana Jayate Sudra Sanskarad Bhavad Vijaha Veda Patad Bhavad Vipro Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. By birth, Janmana Jayate Sudra. By birth, everyone is a Sudra. Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Especially in the age of Kali, everyone is a Sudra. Sanskarad Bhavad Vija. But if someone undergoes the sanskars, Veda Patad Bhavad Vipro, and they learn the Vedas, Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, and they know Brahman, that person is a Brahmana, and we should respect him more. Both persons are there. We should offer respect just someone who has a Brahman thread. They may have gone, they may be their father may be a barber. They may be a rickshaw wala. Sometimes it's like this in the small villages in Orissa and Bengal. Someone's very poor, they want to get some money, so they hear about Calcutta, a very wonderful place. So they go to Calcutta to try to get money. And then they arrive in Calcutta and they find it's very, very difficult. So many people are going there to try to find work and there's nothing they can do. So some of them, what they do then, they go down to some puja shop and they spend a few paisa and they buy a Brahman thread. And they put the Brahman thread on themselves and they get a little basket and a bell. And they go around and they mumble some things. And they put some chandan on your head. And they throw a little bit of rice. And then they ask for a few rupees. Like that. We can offer respect to that person. He's just a barber. He's not a Brahmin. He's not even chanting any Vedic mantras. He's just mumbling something. But still we can offer respect to him. Why? because we're offering respect to the concept of a Brahman, to that Brahman thread. And if we have a society, a culture where people value that, then it becomes a very wonderful progressive culture, very wonderful society. Still, it's described that a real Brahman is someone who's a Vaishnava. It's described in Garuda Purana. Brahmananam sahasrebhyaha satta yaji visishyate satra yaji sahasrebhyaha sarva vedanta paraga sarva vedanta vitkotya vishnu bhakto visishyate vaishnavanam sahasrebhya ekantye ko visishyate. Someone who's qualified to offer sacrifice, he's better than an ordinary Brahman. A Brahman who's just a Brahman because of birth. And maybe they've gotten some mantra. By this mantra, they've had a second birth, and therefore they're known as Dvija, meaning Dvi Janma. They have two births. But just because they have that mantra also is not such a cause for respect. It's described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that once Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends, they were having breakfast together in Nandagaon, in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And Madhu Mangal, who's a Brahmin, he began to speak up to all the boys. And he told them, actually, all of you should give respect to me as a Brahmin, because I have this bite, I have this Brahmin thread, and I'm a Brahmin. How should you respect me? All of you should give me your sweet rice. And this would be a very good way to respect a Brahmin. So when he heard that thing, Sridham spoke up. And he said, yes, we should respect. You're a Brahmin, you're Dvija. And we should also respect the birds, because they're also Dvija. Right? The birds, they have two births. The first birth is when the egg comes out of the mother. And then the second birth is when they break out of the shell. So he's indicating to me, you're Dvija. And also the birds, they're also Dvija. And the Brahmins, they go and live in the forest. And also the birds, they're living in the forest. So you're just like a bird. So just being Dvija, just being second born, is not sufficient cause. But Garuda Purana is describing that someone who's qualified to offer sacrifices, he's better than an ordinary Brahmin. And better than that Brahmin is someone who studied all the Vedic literatures. We should give him more respect. And among many such Brahmins, Sarva Vedanta Vitkocha, who know the Vedic literatures, Vishnu Bhakto Vishishyate, someone is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. He's the best. And Vaishnavanam sahasrebhyo ekantye ko visishyate. Out of many, many such Vaishnavas, one Vaishnava who's very, very ekantic, who's very fixed in his service to Krishna, he's the best. Garuda Purana describes like this some gradations of respect. And therefore it's described, Name, Krishna says, Name Bhaktis Chaturvedi, Mat Bhakta Swapachapriya, Tasmai Deyam Tato Grayam Sacha Pujo Yatayaham. Krishna says that even if someone is a non-devotee, but they may come from a Brahmin family. Their family may be Chaturvedi, Brahmin family. They're knowing all four Vedas and memorizing all that. But if he's not a devotee, even though he may be expert in studying the Vedas, he's not dear to me. But he says that even if someone may come from a family of dog eaters, and Krishna means it, persons who actually eat dogs, if he's my devotee, that person, he should be worshipped. He says, Tasmai deyam tato grayam sata pujo yatayaham. You should give him worship because he's just as worshipable as I am. Don't see things in an external way. We tend to preach about vegetarianism to people because we know that vegetarianism can help people. The meat eating is a very bad thing. But Prabhupada said that we're not interested to preach to the vegetarian society. He said the rabbits are also vegetarian. Being a vegetarian is not a very big thing. And do you know, not all of Krishna's devotees are vegetarian. Garuda is not a vegetarian. He's a non-vegetarian Vaishnava, and he has a very big service. Prabhupada writes in one letter, he says that the pandas and puri, sometimes they're eating fish and that. Still, We offer respect to them because they're worshiping Lord Jagannath. Jatayu. He's a very great personality. But what kind of birth did he have? He was a crow. Crows are not vegetarian. Huh? Even animals that eat nasty things don't want to eat what crows eat. Crows eat the very worst of things. And Jatayu was born in a crow birth. Huh? So being a vegetarian is not the criterion. Mm-hmm. But we respect someone who's worshiping Krishna. At the same time, someone is doing, as we described before, if someone has some durachar, some bad behavior, we may keep a little distance from them. And that goes for an exalted personality like Garuda, or for someone who may be a new devotee in Krishna consciousness, but they can't give up eating meat, maybe, but they're chanting Hare Krishna. We should offer them respect. Krishnita yashagiri tvamanasadvyeta. Just because they're chanting Hare Krishna, we should give them respect. But we don't associate very closely because their bad activity may affect us. And we don't associate very closely with Garuda. Why? Because if we associate very closely with Garuda, if we're not on the proper platform of offering him respect, we may criticize him. We may say, oh, how can Garuda be a great devotee? He's a non-vegetarian. And then Sarvanas. Everything is finished. Huh? I remember once our spiritual master, he was speaking about one exalted Vaishnava who was living in Orissa. And the devotees, they wanted to go and visit him. They said, somehow they elected me to go and talk to him, to Guru Maharshi, and to ask his permission to go see this Vaishnava. So I had some doubts about it, but I was happy to go and see our spiritual master. So I went in and said, Guru Maharshi, the devotees, they want to go see this Vaishnava. You're always glorifying Sadhu Sangha, and they've heard from you that this person is very exalted, and they want to go and see him. And he became angry and started shouting at me. And he said, you told them absolutely not. If they were even to commit some offense in their mind, they would be finished. 6 months or a year later, that Vaishnava passed away. And later we heard some things about him, that he was very fond of smoking cigarettes. But he's a very exalted personality. But if you or I were to go and see him, we might criticize him in our mind. How is he a Vaishnava, but he's doing this kind of thing? This is not good. We should be very, very careful for these two reasons. Huh? They may be actually a fallen person, and then they may affect us. Huh? But fallen, but still they're doing their bhajan, so we should respect them as a sadhu in that sense. Or they may be a very exalted personality and doing something which we can't understand. Huh? Just like, what's his name? Pundarigvijayati is a good example. There's another one in the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji, thank you. He's also said that he was smoking a hookah sometimes. And in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, sometimes he was glorifying, and the devotees were going there and they were seeing his seemingly mad behavior. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, hey, you stay away from him. You can't understand him. So we should be careful. We should offer respect to everyone, but sometimes that respect means we may have to be respectful from a distance. Dure, dure, dandavat. We offer respect from a distance. Therefore, it's said that if a sadhu says something which we don't understand, then duri duri dandavat, we're respectful, but we keep a distance. He's a sadhu. Sadhu means someone who's teaching the Bhagavatam, telling people to chant Hare Krishna. Now, maybe they're telling some other things which may seem like sahajya-like to us, or they may have some bad activities so that we can't understand that thing. So duri duri dandavat, I'll be respectful, but I'll keep my distance. And that's healthy for us and for society. So ultimately, Vedic culture means that we should respect the Vaishnavas. It's described that Advaitacharya Prabhu, he was the leader of all the Brahmins, Ashantipur. He's a very, very exalted personality. But when it came time to perform the Shraddha ceremony, the Shraddha ceremony, that ritualistic ceremony for the benefit of his deceased father, then who did he call? And this Shraddha ceremony is a very detailed, complex thing. It's described very elaborately in the Garuda Purana. And it's meant for those persons who have faith in karma. The Vaishnavas we don't follow. This karmi system of Shraddha. We have our Vaishnava system. We don't take shelter of that. And this karmi system of Shraddha is a very, very complex thing, as described in Garuda Purana. And one of the important aspects of it is that you should invite the most high-class Brahmin you can find in your area. And you should offer worship to him. You should give him some gifts. And you should feed him nicely. So when Advaitacharya decided to perform his Shraddha ceremony, he called many different Brahmins to that ceremony, invited them all there. And then he also invited Haridas Thakur to come. And Haridas Thakur, he said, "Why are you inviting me? I am from a Muslim family. I'm very, very low birth." "No, no, no, you're a Vaishnava. You should also come." So Haridas Thakur, he took Advaitacharya's instruction on his head. And he came there and he sat outside his house. He thought, "I'm not qualified to go inside. All the exalted persons there inside. I'm very nasty. Let me sit outside here." He sat down out there and Advaitacharya began the ceremony. He's looking, "Where's Haridas Thakur?" "Oh," someone said, "he's sitting outside." "Hey, bring him inside." And he gave him a nice seat. And Haridas Thakur was feeling very embarrassed like this. He saw all these very high-class Brahmins sitting around him. And they did all the ceremonies. Then it came time to offer that plate of prasadam to the senior-most person. And Advaitacharya, he went to offer that to Haridas Thakur. And then Haridas Thakur, his eyes became very big. He said, "No, no, 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 no. Don't offer that thing to me. There's so many senior people here. How you'll give that thing to me?" Advaitacharya replied, "Atrajera kohina tumina kahibaya se achari baje shastra mata hoye tumi kaile hoya koti brahmana bojana eta boli shada shada pacha koriye bojana." He told Haridas Thakur, "Tumi na kore bhai, boy." He said, don't be afraid, Haridas Thakur. He said, "You should know that I'm following the Shastra very strictly. And that if I feed you, I get the benefit of feeding 1 million Brahmins. Therefore, you should accept the Shraddhapatra." And Advaitacharya, saying that, he made him eat. So we should offer respect to the Vaishnavas, not on the basis of their birth, but ultimately on the basis of their realization. Although also we may offer respect, we should offer respect to their birth, but still of the two considerations, the realization, the advancement of the devotee, is a superior consideration. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila, chapter 4, text 67, 68 describes. Kehi bhaje se bodha abhaktahina chaya Krishna bhajane nahi jati kulari bichaya. He says that anyone who takes to bhakti, anyone who takes to devotional service, they're exalted. And someone who's a non-devotee, they're always condemned and abominable. Therefore, in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord, there's no consideration of the status of one's family. And therefore, we say that we're members of the Achyuta Gotra. And that's not a cheap thing. It's not just some smart, wisecrack answer that we can give when someone comes to us and asks us, "What is your Gotra?" And we say, "Oh, Achyuta Gotra. I'm part of Lord Vishnu's family." But it's by quality. It's a very exalted thing to say that we're in Krishna's family. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes very nicely in Madhya Lila chapter 10.
Jete kule vaishnavera janma kena nahi tatapi sarvotama sarva shastra kohe ehi tara pramana jovana hari dasa brahmari dolaba dekila prakasha
jay desi by sigorangeragan. Irregardless of where they take birth, Devakinandan says we should offer respect to them. And this is echoed by here by Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says that a Vaishnava may take birth in any family, But he's always the most exalted personality in society. For a society to be progressive, it's very important that society should offer the most respect to the Vaishnavas. And they may be coming from a Malecha birth. Right? And he says the example here is Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. He says, but his realizations are rarely perceived even by great personalities like Lord Brahma, etc. For a society to be progressive society, we should have this quality. We should respect the Vaishnavas. And if a society does like that, then it'll be progressing and moving in a very, very nice way. Irregardless of those Vaishnavas' birth, irregardless even of their knowledge, their education, their personal body beauty, irregardless even of their external success and service, but we should judge by their devotion. He goes on to describe.
Papita Vaishnava Jati Buri Kore Janma Janma Adama Yonita Dubi More.
What is the nature of someone who judges someone by their birth? And they say, oh, you know, those Western Vaishnavas, those Western devotees, or the Deshi devotees. Someone who considers like that, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that such a person, he's the most wretched sinner who wants to hang these kind of upadis on the Vaishnavas. Who wants to say, oh, they're a Western Vaishnava, they're a Polish Vaishnava, they're a Japanese Vaishnava, they're an Arisan Vaishnava, they're a UP Vaishnava. You shouldn't do that thing. And he says that someone who does that, then janma janma adama yonita dubi more, they'll have to take birth again and again in this world in lower species of life.
Jati kula kriya dane kichu nahi kore prema dana ariti bina na paye krishne.
He says that jati kula, high birth, caste, kriyadani, your fruit of activities, or wealth. He says all these things, these are worthless commodities. Kichu nahi kore. It's only the thing that's valuable is this prema dana. And these other things, they're not going to give us prema. Only this prema can bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. Vrindavan Das Thakur goes on.
Prahlada jaina daicha kapi hanuman emata haridasa nicha jata nama.
And he gives some nice examples. He says that Prahlad, he was the son of a demon. What is his birth? And Hanuman, he was a monkey. But they're exalted Vaishnavas. He says similarly, Haridas Thakur was born in a low caste, non-Hindu family. But he's counted amongst the foremost of the Vaishnava devotees. So we should see with this consideration. We should see with some humility. This humility, as we were describing the other day, this is the most important consideration. With this humility, we can offer respect to others. With this humility, we can see who is a Vaishnava. And the opposite of this humility, as we described, is very detrimental for society. Krishna says in the 16th chapter of the Gita, Dambo Dharpo Abhimanascha. Krodha Parusham Eva Cha Jnanam Cha Vijatasya Sampadim Paramasriyam. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness. These are all qualities of the demons. These are not qualities of devotees. And if we see ourselves having these qualities, these are not saintly qualities. We should understand. For a Brahman, for a Vaishnava, the Manava Dharma Shastra describes, Samanat Brahmano Nityam Udi Jet Vishariva Amritasyeva Chakangshed Avamanasya Sarvada Sukham Yavamata Sete Sukham Cha Patipudyate Sukham Charati Loke Smin Avamananta Vinashyati. A Brahman or a Vaishnav. Vaishnav is automatically a Brahmin. They should consider material prestige to be like poison, and dishonor to be like nectar. We may describe something more about this in the next few days also, a very important subject, about how our critics are actually our best friend. Really, really, they're really our best friend. Some different reasons for that. And he gives one here. He says that if someone learns to tolerate dishonor, then your agitation goes down. And as a result, you'll be able to sleep happily. When you wake up, you'll feel very good, and you'll happily move about in this world. And the person who insults you, as a result of his sin, he'll become embarrassed, and his happiness in the next life will be vanquished. So we shouldn't demand respect. Rather, as described by our Vaishnavacharyas, we should command respect. Chanakya Panda describes Indriya Jayasha Mulam Vinaya. Humility is a root of sense control. Everybody understands, every system of yoga describes that we should control our senses. Yama, niyama is a part of the Astanga yoga system. Giving up certain things and doing other certain things, certain rules and regulations. And what is the result of the root of that is humility. Vinayasya mulam vidopa seva. He says that what is the root of that humility? Service to and respect to superiors is a root of that humility. So what does this mean? This means some artificial external respect. But if we do that, if we're respectful to someone, if someone comes and they may be a great meat eater, they may be a big demon atheist, but it's an elderly lady, we should be respectful for her from our heart. We should give her some affection. Respect means to give some affection because she's an elderly person. We should respect her opinion in that. Give her some respect in whatever way we can. Listen to her opinion. You may not follow it, but give her some social respect. She'll be happy, and you'll be happy. You do this little experiment. Sometimes you try to make everyone you can feel good about themselves. Try to make everyone give respect to everyone. Try as much as you can to give respect to every single person. You'll find if you do that, you get so much happiness, and you bring happiness to others. I remember once, as an example, we once were checking into a hotel. We were traveling somewhere. And there was one lady there behind the counter representing the hotel. And some very, very obnoxious man was there. And he was shouting at her, you people were late, and the room was not clean, and this, and he was going on and on. And the person was just really a very horrible person, very, very obnoxious. And that woman, you could see, it was a very difficult thing for her to deal with such a horrible person. But she was being very good. Yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, yes, sir. We'll try our best, sir. We'll do the best that we can. And she was going on and on like this. And then finally that obnoxious person, he stormed off with a black cloud over his head. And then we turned to that lady. She's just a karmi lady. She's nothing to us. But we gave her a little respect. And I told her, I said, I just want to tell you, the way you dealt with him was so expert. That was very, very nice. I just really appreciate that. And that woman, it was like someone took a load of bricks off of her shoulders, and she became so, said, oh, thank you very much. She said, oh, it was very, very difficult for me. And she became happy. Now, this is a mani na mani dana. We can be respectful to everyone. If we look, if we think about it, in every situation, we can be respectful to everyone. We shouldn't think that we need to have respect for ourselves. And actually, if you want respect, if you really want to have respect, the best way to get it is to be respectful from your heart to everyone else. That woman, she was very kind to us after that. She gave us a very nice room. We had very good service there in that hotel. She was very, very impressed with us because we were respectful to her. And our respect to her was genuine. It was heartfelt. It was very difficult for that poor woman to put up with what she did. She was very professional and very expert with that. So Chanakya Pandit says, Brida sevaya vijnanam. He says, Vinayasya mulam bridopasiva. Service and respect to superiors is a root of humility. If you give respect to senior persons, then this will help you to become humble. And then he says that Brida sevaya vijnanam. By rendering service to your elders, you gain wisdom. That's a wise person. And that's why sometimes it takes some years to gain wisdom. Because we see that young people, we used to have a saying in America in the 60s and 70s, the saying was, don't trust anyone over 30. They don't want to give any respect. And we used to say, as we were saying the other day, that we had the bumper stickers we were putting up, question authority. That was our slogan in those days. Huh? But after some years, you learn, actually, it's a very good thing to respect other people. And any person, I promise you, any person who's a good diplomat, any person who's a good businessman, any person who's a good teacher, any person who's a good administrator, anyone who deals with other people in a successful means, they've learned this principle, this basic principle of offering respect to others. How is it sometimes, I can't imagine, that devotees don't learn this basic principle of being respectful to each other? Even rich people can do this thing, and industrialists can do this thing, and they give seminars about it, and they speak about how important it is. But then we see as devotees, someone coming and saying, you should respect me. I'm a senior person. I've been here 2 weeks longer than you. I know more slokas. I'm a this, I'm a that. How devotees can understand this very basic principle. And for devotees, this is not just a material thing. We're not out to just get money. But prema dana vina vyartha. Mahaprabhu, he says, he prays to Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta comments very nicely on this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, some people say that Dhrida Narayan, that the poor person is Narayan. But he says, Mahaprabhu is saying, Dhrida Jivan, my life is poor. Why is that? Because I have no love of God. Prema dana vina vyartha. So you please give me this prema. Dasa kori, veta mori, deha prema dana. You please make me into your servant, and the only wealth that I'm asking for is this prema. And for this reason, he's describing as chanada pisa nechena, toroheva sahishna, amani namanadina, kirtaniya sadhari. That if we behave like this way always, then we can naturally develop some humility. And this is the hallmark, the nature of a devotee, of a Vaishnava. So I'll finish with one short story that illustrates this point nicely. It illustrates the difference between a person who has some culture in a mundane sense and someone who has culture in a higher sense. Duryodhan was a very expert person. He's actually a very good king. He cared very much for his subjects. He was very respectful to the Brahmins. He gave charity and everything was going very nicely in his kingdom. It's described that on one occasion, Dronacharya, he called for Duryodhan. And he said, Duryodhan, you've been here now in my school for so many days, and I've been teaching you, and now it's come some time, I want some Guru Dakshina. I want you to give me something in exchange. Duryodhan said, yes, Guru Maharaj. What would you like? Dronacharya says, I want you to go out and I want you to find one person who's better than you. And I want you to bring me that person who's better than you. And Duryodhana, he said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And he left and went out. And Dronacharya, he called for Yudhisthira. He said, Yudhisthira, for so long you've been studying under my guidance and now has come time, I want some Guru Dakshina. Yudhisthira said, yes, Guru Maharaj. What is it you want? He said, I want you to go out and I want you to find someone and bring them back to me. I want you to find one person who's lower than you. And Yudhisthira said, yes, Guru Maharaj. And he went out. They were both gone for a very long time. Finally, Duryodhan came back and he was holding his head down. He said, Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry. I looked. I went all over the world. I went everywhere. I interviewed so many thousands and thousands of people. I went everywhere. And I couldn't find anyone who was better than me. Very difficult. So then at that time, Yudhisthira came to that place. And Yudhisthira also had his head down. And Yudhisthira, he said, Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry, but I failed. He said, you told me that I should go and I should find someone who's lower than myself. And Guru Maharaj, really, I tried. I went everywhere. I went all parts of the globe. But I couldn't find anyone who was lower than myself. So then at that time, Dronacharya, he turned to Duryodhan. He said, Duryodhan, your search is over. Here's someone better than you. Yudhisthira. And he turned to Yudhisthira and he said, Yudhisthira, your search is also over. You found someone who's lower than you. Here's Duryodhana. Huh? So that society is a progressive society which has these kind of values, spiritual values. By we respect bhakti, we respect qualities, even on a mundane level, of knowledge, of renunciation. You know? And we offer respect to different people for that way, reason. You know? For a society that does that, it's a progressive society. It's going to advance very nicely. It's going to help all the members, all the citizens of that society. And for the individuals of that society, it becomes very easy for them to become devotees and to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop there. It's 2:15. So Maharaj, do you want to add anything? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So I have no qualification to answer Maharaj's question. But Maharaj understands these things. But sometimes some persons, they may ask something to generate something, I think. So with Maharaj's blessings, we'll try to say something. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes as different types of bhakti. There's bhakti and there's bhakti abhas. There's genuine bhakti and there's something which looks like bhakti. The bhakti abhas he describes is called indriya vyapara. Indriya vyapara literally means the engagement of the senses with the sense objects. The Padma Purana describes to us Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grahim Indriya. You can't understand Krishna. You can't perceive Krishna with your senses. Atha Shri Krishna Nama Adi. And that includes, Adi means etc. And Nama Adi includes his name. You can't understand Krishna even through his name. There's a purport to this. We can't understand Krishna with our material senses. It's not possible. So the engagement of our material senses with the material sense objects, chanting Krishna's name, is indriya vyapara. It's not actually real bhakti. But it is bhakti. All of you can be relieved. If we give them classes like this in the temple, whenever we speak on this, people become very depressed. It's not a very encouraging thing. But actually it is bhakti. In one sense, it's bhakti umukhi sukriti. We were speaking about bhakti umukhi sukriti the other day, perhaps. Was it in this class? Yes. That it's some type of sukriti by which we get bhakti. It's not actually really bhakti. But at the same time, it is bhakti. Vishnup gives a wonderful example. He says that when you're performing a fire jagya, what is the fire jagya? The fire jagya is when you pour ghee in the fire and you say, swaha-ha, that's the fire jagya. But someone may say, but there's so many other activities leading up to it, collecting the firewood, collecting the ghee, cleaning the yajna sal, bringing the bricks, putting them down, and putting the mud on top of them. That's not actually the yajna. The yajna proper is pouring ghee in the fire. But if you don't do those preliminary activities, you can't have a yajna. So these preliminary activities that we do, and this is a topic that is a little bit confidential, and then if we speak about it in a general assembly of people, some people will become upset by it and angry. So it's a little confidential in that sense. That what is bhakti abhas? What is chala bhakti? What is false bhakti? What is something that's not really bhakti, but it looks like bhakti? These things are not actually really bhakti, but they're things which lead to bhakti. And so wise persons, they encourage everyone to do that. We encourage everyone to chant Hare Krishna. How many people, when you meet someone, you're distributing books in the airport on the street, and you tell them, chant Hare Krishna, how many people do you want to tell about the 10 offenses to? Or even the 4 regulative principles? That's for a little later on. We just tell them, just have this wonderful prasadam. This is very, very nice. And come to our temple and chant, dance, and be happy, and just have a good time. And there's nice movies, and there's pretty girls coming, and serving prasadam, and very tasty food, and this. We just emphasize all those things. And then after they've been around for a few months or something, we come and tell them one day, the 10 offenses to the holy name. And they become, oh my God, like this. So this stage of bhakti, in one sense, is not really bhakti. And we still have all of our anarthas. And although we've put on a costume, just like in America, we have a festival called Halloween. And everybody, they dress up in costumes as lawyers or doctors or witches and goblins and ghosts and different things like that. And they come, and the little children, they get a lot of pleasure from this. They dress up like a ghost, and they go and they knock on your door, and you come to the door, and they go, boo, like this. And then the adults, everybody's dressed like this. The adult acts like they're frightened. The child becomes very happy. Huh? But what adult is really going to think that was a ghost or a witch or a pirate on his foot? He understands it's a child dressed like that. A wise person doesn't think like that, but he encourages them. So Prabhupada said sometimes that you're just dressing like Vaishnavas. You're like an actor on a stage. But just as an actor on a stage, he may memorize some lines and do something, but it may not really be him in one sense. But another thing is there, he gets in the mood of that person. He begins to imbibe the mood of that person. So we may think sometimes, I know some devotees, they say, oh, Prabhu, I want to be honest. I'm not going to wear a dhoti and kurta. I'm not going to wear Kunti Mala or Tilak. I'm not really a devotee. And there's something to be said for that. That's some humility. We're putting this thing on. I'm not a devotee. I'm not worthy of wearing this thing. But we wear this dress because it's conducive to the development of bhakti. We wear this dress because our Gurujanas want us to wear this dress. And because we're subservient to them. We want to obey them. But still, even though we put on this costume, if I haven't progressed very far in bhakti, then even though I'm acting like a devotee and I may come and say, oh, please forgive me for my offenses, Prabhu, and please accept my pranams like that, still, I may act in a very proud way. And I'm still always looking for some prestige. That's the nature of the materialist. He's always looking for some kind of prestige. And in the material world, we look for it with money and wealth and women and different ways like that. And then when we come to Krishna consciousness, someone pulled the rug out from under us. And now we have, our whole life was looking for prestige. And now we don't have anything to get prestige anymore because nobody cares if you have money or, well, they do care sometimes, but they're not supposed to care in the Vaishnava society if you have money or if you have bodily beauty or this or that. And we start looking for respect in other ways. And we start trying to demand respect from others. So when we see other people doing like that, don't quarrel with them. Don't come down to their platform. Just understand, it's very, very wonderful that this person, they're coming to Krishna consciousness, and this is a hospital. Don't be surprised if you're in the hospital and you see someone who's sick. You come running out of the hospital screaming, oh my God, there's sick people in there. I don't want to go there. This Krishna consciousness movement is full of sick people. Very good, they're coming. Huh? But maybe if they're coming and they're putting on a doctor's mask and they're a crazy person, and they're putting on some, maybe you don't want them to do open heart surgery on you. You may say, excuse me, I want to see the doctor. We have a right to pick who we want as the doctor. And if they seem like a crazy patient in the hospital, then we have a right to say, I don't want to take treatment from you. And we have a right not to ask someone else, please, can you put me in a room? A little distant from this person. Is that okay, Maharaj?
Yes. Because you said here, we have a right to pick the doctor. And that you said, your guru is the one whom you actually have faith in. So sounds interesting.
It's a question of the heart. We may ask, if I understand your point correctly, I think that you're pointing out that then who is the guru? How do we know who is that guru? We have no choice. In the Western world today, young boys and young girls, that they marry on the basis of love, and they don't have any choice. When they fall in love with each other, it's a forced thing. And in the same way, it's a question of the heart. And if we cultivate our heart with the holy name, we purify our heart with the holy name, we cry to Krishna, then we'll know. Krishna, he'll reveal in our heart, this is your guru. And according to the quality of your heart, you'll have no choice. That young boy, he's attracted to the young girl, and he has no choice. But later on, he finds out she's really not as sweet and nice as he thought she was. In the beginning, she was giving him so many nice words, and oh, Prabhu, you're so handsome, and you know so many verses, and you're such an advanced devotee. And then after a few years, her song has changed.
She's singing something different. Why don't you go out and get a job? We don't have any money. We don't have anything nice here. I don't have any nice saris, and you should buy something for me. You don't love me. They're singing a different song like that and torturing you like that. Huh? So in the same way, why does that happen? Because that boy, he's a fool. He's basing his judgment on some external considerations. So in a similar way, sometimes people do like that with guru. It's a very unpalatable topic, but it's a very frank, honest thing. Some people, they want a guru. One Mataji told me in Kuala Lumpur once in Malaysia, she said, you know, I like such and such Swami. I want to take initiation from him. I said, oh Mataji, that's very good. He's a very senior Vaishnava and very exalted person. That's good. And she said, you know why I like him as a guru? I said, no Mataji, I don't know. She said, because he's very good with children. And this Mataji happened to have two children. So she wanted a guru who was good with children. So Krishna Bhagavan, who's in her heart, he knows what she wants. Yayatamam prapadyante. Kamsataiva bhajamyam. So he gave her some faith in that particular guru. And just because her motivation was bad is not necessarily a reflection of that guru. Some people also, I know one devotee once told me, you know the very good thing about Srila Prabhupada was that he really looked like a guru. If Prabhupada didn't look like that, then he wouldn't have had so much success. Somehow, this person actually is a senior devotee even, not a Prabhupada disciple, but I remember thinking, what a very shallow kind of statement. But he was attracted by some external vision of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada also has an external vision. Just because someone has some external desire for guru, and Krishna may link them up with someone, it's not a reflection on that guru. But they're not going to get the real thing. We know, without mentioning any unfortunate names, there were a few people who came to Srila Prabhupada. One particular person comes to our mind who went to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, will you please bless me that I can find a bona fide guru? And then Prabhupada became very, very upset with that person and cursed him. So just because someone comes in contact, probably see the example of the mosquito and the king. How do we find guru? How does someone find a wife? How do you find a wife? If you're an intelligent person in Vedic culture, you depend on your parents. And the girl depends on her parents. And in spiritual life, we depend on Krishna. He's our father. And we have really no one else we can depend on. And to the extent that we do that, we'll find guru. We'll find Sadguru, real guru. And we'll have a real contact with him. And to the extent that we don't do that, we'll get something else. That something else is not necessarily bad, especially if they're having us chant Hare Krishna and read the Bhagavatam. It may be a little bit of a slower thing. We shouldn't discourage anyone. Right? If they're chanting and reading Bhagavatam, it's very good. But it's not the same. Everyone who comes to guru is not the same. Even they may be coming to the same guru. We should cultivate our heart. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has described that we should cry for Krishna, that we can't see who's guru. He says, if we try to see who guru is, their material senses will always get the cheaters, the false gurus. All that we can do is depend on Krishna. Okay? All right, Maharaj. Mataji. The means by which we express that discontentment, the means by which we express that complaint, that's called society. That's the basis of society. And we'll do that in different ways. Therefore, in the Western culture, someone may go to the police, they may go to some counselors, they may go to a priest, some a parent, some senior person like that, and take shelter of them. So according to our culture and according to where our faith is, we'll take shelter of a particular means. We, in our Krishna-conscious society, we want to encourage everyone to take shelter of Krishna and have faith in Krishna and take shelter of Krishna's devotees and to do that in a very pure way, not halfway, not quarter, not one-tenth, but 100%. Also, when you're speaking this thing about upadis, we can note that according to the type of conditioning of a living entity, they'll see through these upadis, they'll identify themselves as different upadis, and they'll identify other people, and they offer respect on the basis of those type of upadis, according to their value system. They'll offer respect. Oh, he has this upadi as being a wealthy person. And as long as you're a conditioned soul, you're going to do that. If you're a higher class conditioned soul,
You do it according to Vana and Ashram. And we respect someone. If we're a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement, we respect someone because they're a temple president, because they're a GBC, because they're a Prabhupada disciple, because they're a sannyasi, because they're a Brahmin, they're a pujari. But sometimes we see some of those people are rascal number one. But neophyte people, they can only see, they'll only see in terms of these upadis. And these are also types of upadis. To say that they're a Prabhupada disciple even, that's another type of upadi. Although we should always offer respect to that. That's also designation. Because who is really a disciple is a question of the heart, and we can't see that externally. But from our external social respect, we always give that thing. We can't see what level of advancement the temple president is on, or the head pujari, or this or that. But we're respectful to them. They have that due to some upadi. So in this vanashram system, it's like that, and in Daivi vanashram, it's like that. So we offer some respect in the vanashram system from a higher reason, because of knowledge, because of renunciation. And it's a more progressive society, because your consciousness is more elevated than the consciousness of the demons. You value these certain qualities, and you offer respect to people on those basis. And then the Vaishnavas, they value bhakti, and they don't offer respect on those based on those bodily designations. They may sometimes, and sometimes they may not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Ramachandra Puri was coming and criticizing him, Mahaprabhu was being very respectful. Oh, you're a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. You're senior to me. You're like my guru. And he was accepting it. But then other times when Ramachandra Puri was foaming at the mouth and going on and on like a mad person, sometimes Mahaprabhu would just ignore him. And that's a spiritual consideration. Ultimately, the more that we, more refined, the higher quality our understand, our values are, the more that we respect people according to this value system, the more people appreciate it. If you appreciate someone because of their education and because of their renunciation, they're going to appreciate you. You're a cultured person. You understand what it means to have education, how many years I went through for this. You understand what it means to be renounced. And they like you for that. You're well-liked in society in that way. And then what to speak if we can actually come to the platform of seeing everyone on the spiritual platform and having love and respect for them in that way and seeing everyone as Krishna's devotees, and everyone loves you. The six Goswamis were so dear to everyone because they were on this platform. They were loving everyone from their heart. Not an artificial thing. Like the materialists, they're giving some love and affection. They're being respectful to you because they want your money. Really, they don't give a damn about you. They just want your money. And in Vedic culture, there's a higher class thing. They respect someone because they're knowledgeable and they're renounced. But in spiritual culture, we respect someone because they're a spirit soul, because they're Krishna's devotee. And we see everyone. Jivar Krishna, we see everyone as Krishna's devotee. And we respect everyone on that platform. Is that okay? According to our realization and according to our situation, if we're a mother and we decide we're not going to chastise our children, then we're guilty of a fault. And Prabhupada tells the story of that person who bit off his auntie's ear because he became a great dacoit. Everybody remembers this story? He became a great dacoit because she raised him and she never chastised him. She had a responsibility to chastise him. We have a social hierarchy. And if we act according to that social hierarchy, then the society works very nicely. If we act outside of that, it doesn't work nicely. If I go and I try to chastise the sannyasis, if I try to chastise a GBC or someone who's acting as a spiritual master, it'll create a disturbance in the society. But those sannyasis and GBCs and temple presidents, they have a responsibility to do that. They have to. The husband has a responsibility to chastise the wife sometimes. The wife, she has a position to respect the husband. Traditionally, although it's not always palatable, it's not the position of the wife to chastise the husband. She has another way that she does things, with love and affection and with humility. We can also instruct our superiors like that. If we think about it, I can say very strongly as a principle that I've tried to apply in my life, we've experienced that when someone comes to us, a senior person, and they start chastising us, they become very angry with us. And especially if they're wrong. Sometimes they come and they start chastising, and really you didn't do anything wrong, but they're chastising. If you accept that,
chastisement. If you don't protest that, then you defeat them. Even though they're superior to you, you defeat them in terms of the heart because you capture their heart, especially if they've done it wrong. And they find out that actually they chastise you in a wrong way. Really, you weren't worthy of being chastised. And you accepted it in a humble way. And then later on, they find out he didn't even talk back to me and accepted it. Then you completely capture that person's heart and you get their blessings. And you control that person. That's Vedic culture. But our Western culture is we want to get in someone's face and complain and scream and shout at them. And no, I'm not guilty of that. Why are you telling me, you know, this thing? It's not my fault. I didn't do that thing. We always want to defend ourselves. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says the nature